This past Thursday, when I was coming home from the office here and paid a visit to my own home church to drop something off, I ran into a former parishioner named Pat, who was a very close friend of my late mother. We just ran into each other in the alley behind the church. She asked how I was doing, where I was currently working, and how the rest of the family was faring. Dear friend of my mother's. And when she asked about my sister who lives in Texas, I told her that Jane, that's her name, is really struggling with her health. And then Pat said, which is very typical of her, that she prays for my sister and me by name every day. As a mom herself, and someone who's lost two husbands, she knows well what a mother's heart aches about and worries over. She gets it. She's not spoiled by life. She gets it. And as a veteran prayer, Pat doesn't hesitate to get down on her knees and get very specific with the Lord. Lord, this is what I'm going to talk about today. Now, the great Christian thinker Karl Barth of Switzerland once said that, hear this phrase, this is one of the greatest Christian thinkers of all times, quote, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of a protest against the disorder of the world. To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of a protest against the disorder of the world. But I was thinking, and I think Bart would even agree, prayer is not just the last resort when the world is out of whack. It is both the first and the last resort for believers. For believers, prayer is the ultimate, dare I say, weapon in the warfare of faith. Amen. Because sometimes it's a battle, isn't it? This morning's gospel brings us back to the night before Jesus' death and some of the comments, his comments after the meal and the foot washing. Something we read about back on Holy Thursday. This morning brings us back to some of those comments that came later. He goes into prayer at this point. We find ourselves listening in. And it's quite interesting what he's praying for. He's praying for himself. He prays for his friends around the table. Judas has walked out of the room. And then he prays for you and me down through time. He prays for us in today's world. So we find ourselves listening into. And mysteriously, in this prayer, he speaks of the world as the place that God loves. You know, God so loved the world. But also sometimes a hostile reality from which we may need some protection. It's very, well, that's the truth, too. You know, it's a beautiful world. It's a world that God loves. And sometimes I need protection from it, too. It's mysterious. We find ourselves listening in to something very intimate, very intense. And even though he uses the word Father multiple times, when you listen to his own words in their tone, they're really unabashedly mothering in the care and the concern that they express for everybody. They're, yes, he talks about Father, but the tone of his words are mothering. And I thought to myself, what mother does not pray that her children might get along and be one? When the kids are at each other's throats, a mother's prayers shift into high gear, don't they? If you were to ask the average mom today what she would like as a gift, I venture to say that the vast majority would just say something like, maybe we could be together and get along. Is that right? So Jesus himself prays in this spirit, quote, that they may all be one. Once I was part of a discussion, I guess it was a Bible study of sorts, on the nature of prayer and its various practices. Inevitably, someone in the group asked Pop this question. This usually comes up. Well, what if I find that I can't pray? Well, what do I do then? And of course, everyone looked at me as if I knew what the answer was. I was actually speechless, if you can imagine that. Me, who gets paid by the pound for the words he uses. What are you going to do when you can't pray? My associate pastor at the time, who was sat in with the group, said quite simply and calmly, why not ask someone to pray for you? Why not ask someone to pray for you when you're not up to it? And she meant to do so in your presence, not when everybody splits up and goes home. Ever since, I have had the wonderful experience of having friends and fellow pastors pray for me in my presence without embarrassment. And if need be, over the phone. You know, back in the day, I would have thought that was impersonal, but nowadays, that's pretty powerful too in certain circumstances. When my mom died, even the bishop prayed for me over the telephone. She's my boss. But she's kind of a soul friend, if you know what a soul friend is. And what I want to say to you here is this is the calling of everyone in this church at St. Matthew's. This is our calling. To be those soul friends for one another and for this world. Do you remember when Pope Francis came to America? What I really appreciated was that everywhere he went, and if you follow the news, you might have noted this, he not only said that he was praying for the people, but remember he also asked the audience to pray for him every place he went? And in Washington, D.C., he went one step beyond this, and I've never heard this before from anyone. He said, even if you are not someone who believes in prayer, may I ask you to send your good wishes toward me? Now, that's a soul friend. You know, you can have good wishes toward me even if you're not into religion. That's a soul friend. So here's what I want to ask this morning. I notice out in the educational wing of St. Matthew's, and as you come in that entrance, that main side entrance, you have your mission statement, right? Right? What if we changed it? What if instead of listing all the great things we're going to do for God and our community, it said something like this: we, the people of St. Matthew's Evangelical Church, are a people for whom Jesus prays. Period. What would change about our life together? What would change about how we go out into God's troubled but beautiful world? I think it would make a difference. If the very definition of our lives is, we are people for whom Jesus prays. I really believe that would change our lives. I believe we'd find ourselves in the midst of our daily work and our mission, probably even speaking words that were spoken in the book of Revelation in our second lesson. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.